Once again, One Church, I'm so glad to see you on today, and we're here to continue to celebrate the presence of our Lord in our lives and right there in your home and right where we are today. Once again, just a quick reminder, I know the announcers have already gone forward, but I want to remind you of a couple of things. One, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day celebration, our fourth annual celebration. We have a partnership this year with the City of Midlothian as well as with Project Midlothian and One Church. So we're so glad to have a conglomerate effort between organizations in our city to bring forth this annual Martin Luther King Day celebration. So 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, you'll be able to catch it on all of our platforms for sure. So I look forward to seeing you here virtually, online, of course, and we're going to have a great time. We have other people, and our guest speaker this year is Bishop Aaron Blake. Bishop Blake, so if you haven't heard Bishop Blake, hold on to your seats. You're going to have a great time hearing Bishop Blake on tomorrow. Also, you know, we just signed, as we stated earlier, signed our construction agreement for our building. Aren't you excited about that? And you'll be hearing more information about the groundbreaking ceremony that we will have coming up real soon, all right? So I'm so excited about it. Keep doing what you're doing, One Church. I love you. God has so many things in store for us to do as we continue to be a beacon of light in our community and even to the world, all right? So listen, we're in this series. This year, the Spirit laid on my heart that we're a year of reset. So we're starting off with our first series. We're in the third sermon of this series entitled Reset Our Church. Reset Our Church. And if you haven't heard the sermons, go to our app or go online. And you can hear these sermons. In the first sermon, we talked about the Peter in you. We're in Acts, the book of Acts, as we're going through this series thus far. And there's a little Peter in all of us. And you have to decide on which Peter do you like the most. The Peter prior to this moment where Peter was cutting people and cussing people, or the Peter now where Peter is healing people, leading people to know God through Jesus Christ. So that's a question you have to answer for yourself. And on last week, we talked about walk in power, that as Peter was walking, Peter healed this crippled man. And so there's so much to be said about us, you and I, walking in the power, walking in the authority of the Lord to do what God has assigned us to do here on the earth. Today, we're going to add our third entry of this series. And the title of our sermon today is As For Us. As For Us. So we're in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22 is where we'll land for today. So as for us is where we'll be today. The question at hand for many of us is, who are we partnering with? There is nothing about this salvific journey that we're supposed to be on the island by ourselves. We're supposed to be partnering with somebody. To have the greatest results in our life as believers, it must be done in fellowship. So you have to ask yourself the question and be willing to answer the question truthfully, who are you partnering with? Because if you are partnering with someone as believers, that is a spiritual partnership. Something is supposed to be produced out of that partnership. Gary Zukav says it like this: a spiritual partnership is a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. So who you are in partnership with should be producing something out of your life. It's what iron sharpening iron should be growing in your faith. I would call these strategic alliances. Alliances, they are necessary for the church. For us to be who God wants the church to be, we must be walking in partnership, in fellowship with one another. So there is no church that's better than the other church, because why? We are all the same, one body. And if we're going to walk in the significance of God's power, we must be willing to walk in unity. Jot that down. Walking in unity. If we do not walk, together and walk in unity, would we be an example of the power that God has given us? I stepped to the edge this morning and say we would not be walk as an example of Christ if we're not walking together. Our voices would not have the power that our voices should have if we're not walking together, holding each other accountable for the truth. This says we must be walking in Unity. Goheen writes about Nubogen. He's a German philosopher and theologian. He says this: it is not the culture that gives the church its marching orders, but God and what God is doing for the sake of the whole world. My friends, we have an issue in our culture today where we are allowing the culture to dictate the behaviors, the reactions, and the responses of the church. And that is not how we're supposed to be. Our identity is given to us through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So the scripture dictates to us who we are and what we are supposed to be doing, not an organization or somebody's feelings. The task at hand for us is to make sure not just are we in partnership, but are we partnering with the right people? That's a great question, because many of us, to keep from being blasted on social media or someone looking down on us, we'll partner with people or with groups that do not align with our core beliefs as Christians. Yet we have to come to the place that for God I'll live, for God I'll take the blame. You know, it's Christ and Christ alone. You have to make sure that you have what we're calling strategic alliances, kingdom partnerships. Write that across your screen and put some emoji praise beside it. We're talking about kingdom partnerships. The problem that we have in our church today is that we have made alliances. We have made partners with people who are not partnered with God. So what we have on the table is that the church has some wrong partnerships. Throughout time, humanity has gotten in trouble by partnering with wrong people, right? And we've partnered with wrong people so much that we have made our own narrative. We've written our own script. And you know who always wins in the battle is the one that writes the battle out, right? The ones that writes it out. That's who wins. And so we've written our own story. We've written our own script, and we make ourselves look like the valiant people that we want everybody to think that we are. But the reality is, even for the church, we have written the wrong story because we're not partnering with the story of the scriptures. So you have the wrong story, you got a right story. So I have to ask, which story are you walking in today? Which alliance have you made today? The wrong story convinces us to use the Bible to satisfy our fleshly desires, while the right story convicts us to live by the Spirit. Yeah. Wrong story acknowledges patriotism over holiness. But the right story says God and God alone. The wrong story relinquishes us of our responsibilities, while the right story holds us accountable to God's plan. As for us, we've got to make the decision on today, my friends, that we're going to do it God's way. If we want to have God's results and God's response in the positive, we must choose to do it God's way. Therefore, we must be looking for kingdom partnerships. Not just to sign our names on the dotted line just to say that we have this friend or this follower. We must want to go after kingdom partnerships. There, as we well know it in Matthew 28, that the Jesus says to go ye therefore and make disciples. Now, the sad thing for us today in the 21st century is that we, as the body of Christ, we are going, and we are going therefore, but we're not making partnerships according to the right story. You see where we're going? We're making partnerships according to the story that we have written. There is nothing about the life that we have in Christ that throws it where it looks good on us. We're going to have trouble, so we can't make ourselves look good. We're going to go through some turbulent times. We're supposed to be making disciples. That's the biblical story. We do not have the right to make up another story so that we can feel good in our flesh, to have partnerships and to have friends and followers that are not a part of God's story for our lives. So here we have in Acts chapter 4. Again, Peter and John, they have been not just walking the walk, but talking the talk. And sometimes doing it God's way says we're going to get in trouble with the community. Sometimes doing it God's way says we're going to get in trouble with the government. Sometimes doing it God's way says we're going to get in trouble even at the next Christmas dinner. Because we live according to the story of the scriptures, not to the story of our family's last name. So here we have Peter and John, and they are going to discover the consequences of going against man's system. Consequences of going against man's system. But what they have working for them, everybody, I'm going back to it. They have kingdom partnerships. And in kingdom partnerships, God does something for us that we can't even imagine doing for ourselves. So journey with me to the passage. We're in Acts chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4, the word of the Lord says this. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard their message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The grass withers, the flower fades, but God's word shall stand forever. The first thing I want you to jot down, if you will, is that kingdom partnerships are God approved. Kingdom partnerships are God approved. To be in partnership says that I am now walking with someone that I am in agreement with, a partner. Amos says, how can two walk together except they agree? So if I'm going to be in partnership with someone that says that we agree, we have mutual interest. Mutual interest. So here we have Peter and John. They have mutual interest because they both have experienced walking with God, and they have walking with Christ, and they have experienced the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives and through their in their lives and with their eyes, because they've seen the evidence of the Holy Spirit. So these two men are in partnership. Not only are they in partnership with themselves, they are in partnership because God gives approval to partnerships. You say, well, Mac, I see where you're going, but help me out. I'm glad you asked. Jot down your notes, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two being better than one, right? Jot down Luke chapter 10. There Jesus sends the disciples out in twos, partnerships. Partnerships are powerful. When you have a partnership of more than one horse that's trying to move a wagon, multiple horses can move a wagon further than one horse can. Partnerships work. And if partnerships work on an animalistic level, don't you think they work for a humanistic level? Also, partnerships work. God sets things in order for us to work in partnerships. Some of the saddest situations you will see in life is to see someone that calls himself in partnership, but they're working all alone. Don't look at it about it, don't, because you're at home. Look, some of us are in relationships where we're supposed to be in partnership, and we're doing all of it by ourselves. Just wink your eye, close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes and pray. So partnerships are powerful. Not only are they powerful, but partnerships are protective. There's something about Christ sending the disciples out in twos. They had protection along the way. So here we have, in this particular passage, Peter and John. They are in partnership. We read on last week in chapter 3, they're on their way up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And they're doing it what? In partnership. God approves kingdom partnerships. Listen, there are some relationships that we have here on the earth that are not kingdom partnerships. And we have to be wise enough to know the difference. There are some people that just are in our lives for a certain season and a certain reason, but they're not there for the longevity of kingdom partnerships. Why? Because if you change your biblical belief, then you must have been in my life for a reason and a season. Because the core beliefs as believers, they don't change. It's not going to change. And so you have to know who you are spending your time with doing life and the terms that doing community with. They must be kingdom partners. They must have the kingdom of God on their mind. They must have on their hearts. They're aiming to please God and no one else. Listen, kingdom partnerships, that's not the same thing as an accountability partner. Two different things. Because accountability partner, that means that somebody is holding somebody else accountable while the other person is not being held accountable by the other person. No. This is not accountability partner. We're talking about partners. Somebody that has able to lose the same thing that the other person is able to lose. They are putting it all on the line together. Who are you in partnership with? Who are you willing to put it all on the line together with? This is not something that just happened for Peter and for John to be in partnership. When Christ made the selection of disciples, of his disciples, it was on the mind of God for the first church that Luke was going to write about in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. God approved the partnership. So we got to move on, but let me challenge you again. You've got to be very clear and make sure in your heart that you are partnering with, that you have tied yourself, you have yoked yourself with the right people. There are many good people out there that have many great ideas, but because they made a bad selection in partnership, that vision, that thought never manifests itself. Choose ye this day a good partner. Is that making sense for us? Let's keep on looking at the scriptures. There in verse number 5 says this. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, and Alexander. And others of the high priest family was there. And so were... For the family, verse 7 says this, and they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. Y'all look at this question. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today on the act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked, how was he healed? Then know this, you all and all of the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Wow. So not only, are kingdom partnerships God approved. Let me give you another one. Kingdom partnerships are also Jesus authorized. Kingdom partnerships are authorized by Jesus. Take note of what he says. Look at verse number 7 again. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power name did you do this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers and the elders, if you all are calling us, holding us accountable before because of a kind act, let me tell you the truth about the entire situation. Yeah. You see, what's happening in our culture today is that we take one event and we use one event to bring down an entire situation, and that's not how it works. There's always an event that precedes something else and makes the next event worse, right? And so instead of Peter sitting up and arguing with them about Jesus Christ and about this power, Peter took them all the way back. Now, get this now. Now, Peter took them all the way back, and it was kind of like Peter was, has someone ever told you off and you didn't know that you were bleeding until a week later? Has someone ever, got you real good and you're like, oh, what's that? And you didn't realize that you were hurt. Get this now. It wasn't that long ago that Jesus was raised from the dead. It wasn't long. Some estimations say that it was a couple of weeks. Some say it was a month or a month and a half. It wasn't that long ago. So Peter said, he takes them all the way back. He says, by what power? He says again, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. That the reason why Peter and John could walk in this authority today was because the rulers of the church, the government officials, killed Jesus. And Peter didn't let him off the hook. He says, you crucified him, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Everything that we're able to do today is because of the authority that has been given to us through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, the sad thing is many of our siblings have taken the authority given to us through Christ and have used it to benefit themselves and their agenda. In Matthew 28:18, the text says, "And Jesus came and spake, saying unto them, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth." Right? And so the same power that has been given to Christ, that resurrection power now lives within us, but some of us are taking advantage of it. And we are using the authority God has given us to make disciples for the kingdom of God. We're using that authority to make disciples for our own progressive ideas and agreements. Oh my. Houston, we have a problem. We're at the place now in our Christian culture where the church cannot be trusted. We're at a place now where those men and women that were once, their voices were once trusted across the waters from America to other countries are no longer trusted because we have misused the authority that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. What say you? Many of you are sitting at home today and you're wrestling. You're trying to figure out, well, can I trust this voice again? Can I ever listen to this man, this woman preach again? What are they talking about? They're prophesying about this. They're prophesying about that. What about making disciples? Whatever happened about making disciples for Christ instead of trying to get people to align with you politically? You all do realize that what's going to happen to the world is going to happen to the world. And instead of us trying to make disciples, we're trying to pick sides. I'll say it again. I don't care. Instead of us making disciples, which is what we have been commanded to do, according to Matthew 28, instead of us making disciples, we're out trying to pick sides. Yeah. We want to put banners all over our houses to make it look like we're on a particular side, but the evidence of our walk is not putting the banner of Jesus Christ in the lawn. Kingdom partnerships are Jesus' office. They've been given authority by Jesus Christ. Look back at what he said. He said, "By what they asked, by what power and what name did you do this?" What Peter does here, Peter responds. But y'all get how Peter responds in verse 8. Peter responds out of a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what makes it hard for some of us, and that's why some of our voices have been diminished in the circles around us, because we have been responding out of our flesh. We have been responding according to how we feel at that particular moment. We've been responding because of our culture, because of where we grew up and the friends we have around us and those that see our feeds on social media. We're not responding full of the Spirit. Therefore, our voices have been diminished. I was even reading online this past week that there were some people saying, is this what the church is about? Preachers are prophesying about the presidential race. When did God ever tell the church to prophesy about something that's in the hands of man? All right. The text goes on to say, look at verse number 11. We're not going to make up nothing. Verse 11 says this: Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Everybody say Christ is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Look at verse 13. When they saw the courage, everybody say courage, the courage of Peter and John, and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. God Almighty. Listen, y'all, there's a lot going on right here. There's a lot going on right here. So they've realized, and you're talking about these men, the priest, the high priest, and everybody in the priestly family. They were trained men. Spent their lives ever since they were little boys to grow up to understand the rabbinic laws, understand the Old Testament laws. But here you have Peter and John, whom were fishermen by trade. So they, you know how fishermen just have a different kind of walk about them. You know, they have a different kind of talk about them. You know, but there was something different about Peter and John, because although they were not trained in the rabbinic law, it was evident that they had been around power before. Because of the evidence of their walk, the evidence of their lives. You see where I'm going? If there was evidence, they may not have known how to understand all the additional languages, but there was something different about them because they had experienced power before. You may not be the brightest apple in the bush, but there ought to be something about you that causes people to take note of the God in your life. Yeah, the problem that we have is that people are, we want people to take note, but we're trying to tell people the notes to take. We want people to see all the good stuff we do. We try to capture all the good moments so that we can put it on social media. We want everybody to see all the good stuff we do. No. What got Peter and John in trouble was that they were doing the good work of God. Not trying to capture a moment for themselves, but they were doing God's work. The text says this: when they saw that Peter and John had courage. Come on. All right. What gives Peter and John courage? I'm glad you asked. It's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Getting excited in here. So Peter and John are looked upon because they are speaking, they are walking in courage. Yeah. Listen, y'all. I believe this is where we have to be as a church today in the 21st century. We need to start walking in courage and not in shame. Paul says, such were some of you. Stop allowing what you've done in the past to discourage you from living in the authority God has given you today. We all mess up different ways, different times, doing some stuff. We all have sinned. But I'm not going to allow the past to discourage me from walking in encouragement with the authority given to me through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
We've got to take note of this. Sadly said, the church is being noted for the wrong stuff today. Not only are we trying to tell people what to take note of, we're not in control of what they take note of. So can you just imagine the fact that we have some of our spiritual siblings out there and what they are saying and doing, the world is taking note of it. And some people that do not know Christ as their Savior have taken the time to read the Bible, and they know for themselves that what we're doing does not partner with what the Scripture says that we ought to be doing. You don't have control of who's writing with the pen. So what are people taking the note of about your life? Listen, y'all, Peter and John, what they were taking note of was that there was something different about these fellows. They may not have understood how they talked in broken language, whatever the language is in Greek, but there was something different about them. They were walking and living in courage because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, the only reason why you find yourself living in shame, the only reason why we find ourselves living in discouragement is that we have closed our eyes and our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have literally said, Holy Spirit, take a seat. I need to handle this one on my own. I got this. I'll tell them how to go, what to take with them, and who to pack up and put in the bag. No, we cannot respond that way. Paul says we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The text goes on to say again, look at verse number 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. My friends, at the end of the day, with all that we have going on, what everybody should be able to testify regarding our lives is that Mac didn't get it right all the time, but there is enough evidence to convict him that he had been with Jesus. We may not get it right as a church all the time, but that there ought to be enough evidence out there to say, you know what, y'all, they we knew there was something different about them because they walked and acted like they knew who Jesus was. Is there enough evidence to convict you of knowing Jesus? 14 says this. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered him to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. Listen, there ought to be enough evidence to silence the critics around you. There ought to be enough evidence out there that those that are the naysayers, they'll find themselves with cotton in their mouths. And so all they can do is say, just leave me alone. They just put you out because there's nothing they can say about you because you are living up to the standard of the scriptures. You're living a holy life. Very interesting. There was nothing that could be said because Peter and John did what was right. It wasn't right according to the leaders, the religious leaders and the governmental leaders, but it was right according to their leader. It was right according to God. So not only today, regarding kingdom partnerships, are they God approved? Not only are they Jesus authorized, but finally they are spirit activated. Verse 16 says this, "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Verse 18 says, "Then they called them in again and commanded them to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus."
My Lord.
But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges." Verse 20 says, "As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. But as for us," while you're over here contemplating, "as for us," we've already made our decision, "we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard."
Yeah.
Finally, my friends, kingdom partnerships are spirit activated.
Yeah.
Listen, there comes a time in all of our lives, everybody, and I believe for sure the time is now for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand up and really be who God has called her to be.
Yeah.
Hands down. We have religious leaders out here, instead of making disciples, talking a whole lot of stuff, calling down angels from all over the world, prophesying and prophesying about things they ought not be talking about.
That's right.
Putting their word out there, and although they keep coming up short, they come up with a new prophecy. You know, we're so full of pride, just be quiet. How about just say what has already been written? Because you keep getting these prophecies wrong. So how about just say what's already been written? And so if this is time for us as the bride of Christ to know the truth, to stand on it and speak it.
That's right.
And the only way we can do that is through the activative power, the activation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The moment we step out and try to respond and act in our own will, we're going to mess it up. We're going to make the situation a lot worse than what it already is. Therefore, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So they call Peter and John back in the room. Since they couldn't find anything wrong with them, they call them back into the room. They said, "Listen, this is what we've decided about you. This is what we want. This is what we think, we believe, what you need to do. All right? We're going to tell you what to do. We're going to give you the rules now. We're going to tell you how to respond. Y'all, this is like our culture today. If we're not careful, we've run our mouths so much that we're now allowing the culture to dictate to us how we respond about things. And so they tell them, say, listen, we don't want you to speak or preach anymore in that name. So you got to take a moment and think about last week when we were in Acts chapter 3, that Peter says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Right. So they're saying, now listen, you can talk all you want. We're not telling you to be quiet.
Yeah.
We're just saying, don't say that name anymore. You know, you can be a fan of who you want to be a fan of, but just don't say that name anymore. You see, they didn't want the people around to find out about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So to keep them silent, and you can talk, we ain't telling you not to talk. You can preach, do all you want to do, but just don't say it in that name. You see, still today, people will allow you to stand up and tell your testimony all day long. People will stand up and allow you to talk about your family's name and what all that kind of stuff. But the moment you bring up Jesus Christ, wait. We don't want to make anybody else feel bad. You know, I had an opportunity to pray a prayer in public this past week at a city function. And so, you know, I made the statement in my prayer. I said, to all those on this day, I pray that you are living in discipline according to your God. But as for me, the God I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. So to God be the power, heaven and earth. You got to be clear about it. You're talking about Jesus, because everybody got a God out there.
Yeah.
But we as believers, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so listen, you can talk about it all you want to, but just don't speak and don't preach in that name at all. And Peter and John, still full of the Holy Ghost. Well, this is wisdom, you guys. This is wisdom, because many of us, we read it. Peter in his old day would have found a sword and cut somebody's lips off, you know, because, you know, Peter cut the ear off of the Roman soldier, right? So Peter would have some anger issues, you know. But Peter is a different guy now. So instead of cutting them with the sword, Peter cuts them with the truth of God's word. You see, that's how we know that many of us have not matured yet, because we're still looking for objects to cut folks with. We're trying to find a hammer. We're trying to find a stool, a stick, a pin. We want to see blood. We want to see somebody that bleed. But Peter said, you know, in Peter's old day, he would have cussed them and cut them. But this is a new Peter.
Yeah.
Peter says to them, now, is it right in God's eyes to listen to you or him? You know, this is some wisdom now. We've got to grow up now. We can't find ourselves always trying to fight people anymore. You got to put some sound wisdom on the table and just ask them a question. Listen, does this make sense? Does it make sense for me to listen to you and you have done absolutely nothing for me in earth as well as eternally? Or should I listen to God who's paved the way for me to live eternally in heaven? Right. So stop trying to fuss and fight people. Just ask them a good question. Now, listen, does this make any good sense to you? Why would I listen to you instead of listen to the God that saved me? That's what Peter and John did. Because they said, listen, now while you're thinking about it, while you're percolating, while you're contemplating, as for us, we've already determined in our hearts what our response is going to be. Now, you go on over to the side. Y'all have another meeting. Figure out how you want to respond. But as for us, me and my kingdom partner, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Listen, my friends, we have come so far in our salvific walk that nobody should be able to discredit nor diminish what we have seen with our own eyes and heard with our own ears of what we've seen and heard God do in their lives and in our lives. Nobody can praise God like you can praise God for what God has done in your life. You have seen the change in your life. You've seen the change in your thinking process. You've seen the changes in how you respond and react to folks. So instead of you allowing people to dictate your behaviors, this is your response, your time to praise God, because you have seen it at work in your own life. He said, as for me, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. I don't have that much more time, but listen, there should come a point in all of our lives where we ought to have some, I can't help it anymore. You know, look, he said, we cannot help, right? You ought to have some a moment in your world where you have reflected on the goodness of the Lord so much and so long that you have some I can't help it moments. You know, when everything else is falling out around you, you got a I can't help it spirit that rises up in you. That when everybody else is falling down and foaming at the mouth and giving up, throwing their towel, there's a I can't help it spirit that rises up in you that says, I can't help but praise God, not for what I'm experiencing right now, but I'm going to praise him what I've already seen him do. I've already heard God's voice. I've already seen God do miraculous deeds in my life. You ought to have some a can't help it spirit that rise up every now and again. For when we think of the goodness of Jesus and everything that God has done for us, something rises up inside of us and we make a boast in him. Peter and John, they said, listen, as for us, we can't help but speaking about what we've seen and what we have heard. Yes, thank you, Lord. For the experiences we've had in our lives, we all should be at the place now that no one can make us doubt who God is. Yes. Because we have experienced the power of his mighty hand. Yes. Yes. We have experienced the power of God's mighty voice. Yes. And so there's something that rises up inside of all of us that will not allow us to sit down on God anymore. The passage goes on to say, after further threats, they let them go. In the turbulent day that we're living in now, people are going to always have some threats, and when they can't get you on one, they'll come up with another one. When they can't stop you doing this for God on this side, they're trying to find something else to stop you with on that side. But eventually, they let Peter and John go. The text says they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. And you say, Matt, what happened? Well, what had happened was this man that was lame is now walking. Last week we saw it walking, jumping, and praising God. Verse 22 says this, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So this man that was over 40 years old had a history. We saw it last week in chapter 3, where somebody brought him to the gate called Beautiful every day. And they witnessed him lying there on his back begging for alms. And they saw him suffer every day of his life. And here it is, the next chapter over. The same men that walked and changed his life forever, these men are now being held accountable in a mock court. This mock court that they brought Peter and John into resembles the court they brought Jesus to. For the Bible says that they marked out God, marched him from courtroom hall to courtroom hall. And every courtroom they took him into, they could not find any fault in him. So here we have Peter and John in this courtroom, and they turned the courtroom on the judges at hand. And they asked them the question, now what do you say we ought to do? You call yourselves holding us accountable. We have a question for you. Does it make sense for us to do it your way or to do it God's way?
Yeah.
Unless I hold you too long, the Bible says that this man that was down for over 40 years, he's miraculously walking, jumping, and praising God. You see, we have to come to the point now that as for us, we're going to keep our eyes on what we've seen God do, because if he did it once, he has the same power to do it again. I don't know what has been lying dormant or lame in your life, but whatever it is, if you choose to trust God and believe God past the moment right now, God still has the power to give that leg that once did not have power, to give it power to now not only walk on its own, to not only jump on its own, but to praise God because it has now experienced the mighty hand of God. So you have to make the decision within yourself and within those you have kingdom partnerships with that you should be able to say, as for us. Now, if you can't say that with the people in your life, maybe they are the wrong partners. You should be able to look at every partner in your life and you can stand up and say, as for us. And if you can't say that, I'm telling you, you're partnering with the wrong people. But if you got the right people on your side, you should be able to say, as for us. That you can do what you want to do, but as for us, we shall continue to speak. We shall continue to preach about what we have seen God and heard God do in our own lives. Don't allow anybody to make you get quiet. Don't allow silence to be the loudest voice in your room. For what God has done for you, the world needs to hear about it. And the reason why we can talk about this is because Christ rose from the dead with all power. That same resurrection power now lives in you. So now you have the authority. You have been activated. You have been approved to speak God's word. You have been approved to stand upon his promises. So come what may, no matter who unfriends you, who stops following you, it's all right as long as you're all right with God. Eventually, everything is gonna be all right. So as I go to my seat this morning, that it's time for us to make sure we have the right partnerships. You all not be ashamed to let some folks go in your life. Go ahead, let them go, because if you don't let them go, they're gonna bring you down. But we have to activate with the right partnerships and allow the power of the Holy Ghost to lead us as we are advancing the kingdom of God.
Yes.
In order for our church to reset today, everybody, you've got to do your part. You've got to trust God with those things that seem to be all out of going, out of control, out of the way. Trust God. They want you to be quiet. They want you to turn. But you ask them the question, does it make sense for me to be quiet about the God that saved me? Does it make sense for me to be quiet about the God that healed me? Does it make sense for me to be quiet about the God that delivered me? No, it doesn't. You do what you want to do, but ask for me in my house. As for us, we choose to keep on speaking. We choose to keep on serving. We choose to keep on doing it God's way. If you're going to walk with this activated power, you must be willing to trust God's instructions. If you're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have this power to satisfy our flesh. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to satisfy what God's word has said for us to do. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. You have the power today. As for us, one church, as for us, as for us, as for us. We're not going to get caught up in the fact that we're building a building. Great, God be praised. The building's not for us, it's for the community. But I don't get caught up in what we're doing. Serving ministries overseas and all that, that's great. No, what we're going to get caught up in is doing what God has called us to do, making disciples. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you on today, on this beautiful Sunday morning, for this clear reminder that we as strategic partners have a responsibility. We cannot renege on this responsibility. So we thank you, Father, for doing in us only what you could do with these kingdom partnerships. That wherever we find ourselves making a connection with somebody, that it is God approved. For we don't want to be guilty of connecting with someone or organization just because of. Father, it's got to be approved by you. This kingdom partnership you've given us, Father, it has been authorized by Jesus, that we're able to speak and do what we do in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, Father, we thank you. And this kingdom partnership, spirit activated. The power of the Holy Ghost that lives within us. So, Lord, we thank you. There are many listening today that are wondering, what is this thing all about? And I'm just asking you to open up your heart. It may not all make sense to you now, but if you just have a seed of faith, just a small opening to allow the precious wind of God to come in and seize this moment, to open up your heart, that there is more to life than just getting stuff. And as the body of Christ, Father, there are some things within us we've got to get out of the way. We've got to reset ourselves. We've been focused on the wrong thing. We've been focusing on buying stuff, building stuff, connections with in politics, and all that has its place, but that's not the priority. Jesus said himself to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be given to you. That's the easy part. The stuff is easy. But keeping our eyes on Christ, that seems to be the hardest part. So, Father, we choose on today to trust you. We choose today to believe your word. And because we believe your word, we have been activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, as your sons and daughters, we thank you that you are faithful to forgive us, and your anger is only for a moment. That our weeping may endure for a night, but on this morning joy has come. So we cast all of those cares and those burdens there to your feet. Reset us, God, so that we can say, as for us, we will continue to speak and to preach in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of a group, not in the name of our last name, but in the name of Jesus. So God, we thank you and we love you for the decisions that will be made today, Father, to trust you. Thank you for the clarity of your voice. For we choose to do all that we do in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, his name they don't like. Precious Jesus, we have the victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us? Oh, when we call on that great name, oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, precious Jesus, we have the victory. One more time. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Sing with me and say, we have the victory. Listen, I love you. Thank you for your presence today. Ask God to reset your life. And as for us, we shall continue to speak and preach about the goodness of our Lord in the name of Jesus. God bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift your countenance upon us. Give us your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for our Mother of the King Day celebration. Have a great one. Bye-bye.